Good Friday morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. The flood of the century has turned key rivers in North Dakota and Minnesota into destructive lakes, swamping homes, ruining crops, and drowning 100,000 cattle. In Fargo overnight, a stretch of dike gave way, sending water into dozens of homes and a school. Mayor Bruce Furness says the hole has been plugged, but other stretches of the dike are getting spongy. The Red River is expected to crest today or tomorrow in Grand Forks at a minimum of 50 and a half feet, almost 2 feet over the record. About 2,000 people were alerted before dawn to evacuate, and water has started coming over the dikes. Grand Forks Mayor Pat Owen says dikes are so saturated she doesn't trust them.
We are trying to keep these dikes repaired. It's been an impossible task through the night.
Owen's appeal to the public.
Please listen for evacuation notices. We do not want panic. However, it is for your security because the dikes are leaking and the water is rising faster than we can get a handle on.
Across the river in East Grand Forks, Minnesota, homeowner Bill Peterson.
I'll be happy if we can keep it from the first floor here, but I think we're losing ground with this pump. We're trying to get a bigger one, but of course, if we quit pumping down here, then the people down there are going to be in trouble.
We got the immediate outlook from North Dakota Governor Ed Schaefer in Fargo.
We just need to keep our levee system going and stay on top of containing the flood as best we can. But we also are concerned about our agriculture economy. We've got a lot of livestock destruction out there. We're going to have delayed planting, and we're concerned about the medium and long-term effects.
What about health problems resulting from all the livestock that have died?
So far, we haven't seen any problems. We're going to stay on top of that, but we have a concern of water contamination as we move forward.
How about public morale on the part of the people of North Dakota?
Well, it is amazing to see in the midst of all the pain and destruction that's around, the people are just stepping forward. People have a lot of spirit. The neighbors are helping neighbors, friends. The community is really coming together, and we're getting a lot of outpouring of hope and prayers from all over the country, and it's really uplifting.
Governor Ed Schaefer, there's been a storm over budget and job cuts at the National Hurricane Center, but as Dan Revive reports from Miami, there's at least a partial reprieve.
11 or 12 staff members were to be fired. Now 5 of those jobs have been saved, but the Hurricane Center spokesman says that's only through this hurricane season. No assurance for next year. Still, for now, Florida's Governor Lawton Childs calls the Clinton administration's reversal a significant victory for Americans from Texas to Maine.
At least 2 suspected IRA bombs have gone off in Britain, and major rail lines and roads have been closed to search for others. This woman had a close call.
There was a silver box at the side of the track. I don't know if it holds electrical equipment, and as our train carriage went past it, it just blew up. Big bang, and like everyone's like screaming, hold the heads.
Adam Raphael has more in London.
No casualties, but the impact of these bombs is huge. After telephone warnings that contained code words used by the IRA, the police closed down the main north-south highways that link Scotland and England, and the railroads in northern England. In other words, the country's transport system is paralyzed, stranding commuters and truck drivers. It's assumed to be the IRA trying to disrupt the British election campaign, as it did earlier this month, but leaders of all parties condemned the strategy.
Italy's military intelligence service has issued warnings of terrorist attacks after reportedly learning that Iranian terrorists may be moving their base from Germany to Italy. Pope John Paul II and major airports are said to be special targets. There are also security jitters in the United States, where federal civilian and military installations have buttoned up against tomorrow's anniversary of the fiery Waco assault and Oklahoma City bombing. That goes double for the city of Atlanta, as Jim Axelrod reports.
There's a wild party starting tonight in Atlanta. Freaknik. The Black College Spring Break Weekend. Last year, close to 100,000 partiers descended on Atlanta. Freaknik would stress any police department, but Atlanta's a city where 3 bombs have exploded in the last 9 months. Police Chief Beverly Harvard.
We've basically gone sort of back into our Olympic mode in terms of activating a bomb management center.
1,000 volunteers are expected to hit the streets as well, to be an extra 1,000 pairs of eyes and ears for the Atlanta PD. Jim Axelrod, CBS News, Atlanta.
Los Angeles prosecutors already had problems with the eyewitness in the Ennis Cosby murder. Now a defense lawyer says no fingerprints of value were found on the purported murder gun. Suspect Michael Markashev has pleaded not guilty. O.J. Simpson's niece, Terry Baker, is reported trying to sell a book in which she describes watching Simpson invent his alibi and rehearse it with house guest Kato Kaelin. According to the New York Daily News, Baker also says the first reaction to the murders by Simpson's mother, Eunice, was, quote, he did it. A judge in San Diego has set aside the murder conviction of a man who killed the neighborhood bully, calling the victim a jerk who got what he had coming to him. Instead of facing 15 years to life for emptying two clips of ammunition into John Harper, retired Navy Commander Danny Palm will serve about 8.5 years. His lawyer, Elizabeth Somes.
This defendant does not deserve to be in prison for the rest of his life.
But the victim's half-brother, also named John Harper, said the 1995 killing was premeditated.
And this man, knowing that there was a heated argument, followed him to make sure he was dead.
The victim had been known for running motorists off the road, swearing at the neighbors, and throwing rocks. One of the nation's leading HMOs could lose its license to operate in Texas, as Alice Rios reports from KRLD Dallas.
Kaiser Permanente, the Dallas-based HMO, is under investigation amid concerns that the company's cost-cutting efforts are affecting the quality of health care it provides. Ron Dusick is with the Attorney General's office.
The Attorney General does have very serious concerns about the health and safety of consumers and patients who may be participants of Kaiser's program.
Texas Insurance Commissioner Elton Bomer isn't commenting on whether or when his department would begin the revocation process, and Kaiser officials are denying the allegations. Alice Rios for CBS News, Dallas.
Police in Fort Lauderdale may charge the father of a 2-year-old boy killed by a passenger side airbag when the car rear-ended another vehicle. The boy was sitting in his mother's lap. An accident investigator, Paul Griffith, wondered why.
I asked her, I said, "Do you have a child seat?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, why didn't you put the child seat in the car?" And her answer was, "Well, we had too much stuff."
President Clinton takes part in today's opening of the Freedom Forum's Newseum, an interactive museum of journalism in Arlington, Virginia. WTOP's Tom Foti has had a preview.
The first major area most museum visitors see is a wall full of news mementos.
The news history wall has about 3,000 items on it.
Eric Newton is the museum's managing editor. The news wall moves along the centuries, covering the development of writing, printing, and broadcasting. Among the highlights, an old United Press International teletype containing the famed wire service bulletin that stopped a nation in its tracks when read by Walter Cronkite in November 63.
In Dallas, Texas, 3 shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas.
For newer news, the museum offers dozens of radio and TV feeds. Tom Foti for CBS News, Washington.
On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is ahead 17.66. And that's the CBS World News Roundup for Friday, the broadcast produced by Steve Bolton, engineering by Matt DeLito and Henry Lenz. I'm Bill Lynch, CBS News.